Hello, this is Daniel Orton, pastor of Harvest House United Pentecostal Church in Marion, Kentucky. It is our desire to see hurting hearts and minds healed as they are born again into the kingdom of God. It is my desire that this podcast will be a blessing to you and help bring you closer to Jesus.
You guys care to move up just to the front, just since there's not many people here? There we go. Thanks, man. Also, can anybody tell me what time it is? Because I can't really see those numbers very well. I feel like I used to be able to see those numbers better on that clock back there. No, I'm glad that you guys are coming and having fun and breaking clocks. Don't worry, before your time, somebody broke one of the front doors, so you fit in just fine. But yeah, so there's been a lot of accidents before you, so you're good. But tonight, I've got a pretty good topic to speak about. I've actually had this message for a while, but I think it just fits into where we are in our lives right now. And pastor basically just told me, he said, after you preach a message, just basically be prepared to preach another one. So it's a good thing I've kept notes for a long time. So I've got some things to talk about. But I'm thankful for this opportunity to be here. I'm thankful for the fun that we had last night, just bringing the kids here and just getting to hang out and just connect. That's what it's about. We just want to connect and develop a relationship, be real friends, and then connect you to God, who I know, yeah, he's awesome, and we just want you to understand that and see that. But before I go any further tonight, let's go ahead and let's turn to the Word of the Lord. Let's read in 2 Kings chapter 13, starting, I believe, also verse 14. Yes. When you get there, give me an amen, but could you stand for the reading of the Word of the Lord? Okay. And you can read along with me on the screen. And it says, "Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him a bow and arrow." Has anybody ever seen a bow and arrow? Now I'm assuming that this bow doesn't have cams on it, which, if you know anything about compound bows, that's what generally helps you hold the poundage or the pressure of that bow to release that arrow at a higher velocity. But this bow was likely crafted by hand out of some kind of wood that they had that was high in strength that could launch these arrows at the enemy when they were in battle. So if you could just imagine with me Elisha, the prophet of God, handing the king of Israel, Joash, a bow and arrow. Yeah, good old recurve. "And he said unto the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands." Now, just for a little background, Elisha, it says, is sick of the sickness that is going to kill him. So this is the prophet, the voice of God, the man of God's last dying wish, his dying will for the people of Israel, following God's will. "And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. So Joash pulled that bow back and shot out the eastward window. And then Elisha said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him, and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Does anybody know what was just going on right there? He shot the window eastward. Shot out the window eastward. And then the prophet of God, his dying words, were telling him to smite the ground. For that is the deliverance. That is the battles being fought against the Syrians in Aphek, which God has called them to have and to own. And then it goes on and says, Elisha died and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. So before we go any further, let's pray. And then I'll introduce my title. And if you would, let's just bow our heads right now and thank the Lord and ask Him to bless this word. Jesus, I pray, Lord, that just for the next few minutes, however long this word may hold me here tonight, God, I pray that someone's mind would be held captive by this scenario, by this scenery, by the fact that this dying prophet had a word from you for the people of Israel. Lord, I pray that these words tonight would melt into someone's brain, God, that they would flow over them and it would begin to saturate their heart. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that the normal things that we turn to for comfort, the normal things that we turn to help us in our times of trouble, don't sustain us any longer, Lord, but we realize that we only need you and you alone. Lord, I pray tonight, bless this word, bless every heart, bless every ear. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Somebody say the effect of Aphek. That is what I'm going to be preaching about tonight. The effect of Aphek. So you may be seated. But allow me to set a little bit of a background, and I promise we'll get to the effect of Aphek later. But how many would agree with me that what we do in this building prepares us for what we do out there, outside of this building? God gave us the church, not as a building, but as the disciples were at the time Jesus was alive and even after he had passed, which was traveling from house to house, breaking bread and preaching the name of Jesus everywhere they went. The disciples, they didn't have the book of Acts to reference to be able to open it up and point to chapter 2, verse 38, which we know as the plan of salvation. But it was happening to them as they lived. Peter, instead, he spouted the revelatory words when it was happening. It was his years of following Jesus that led to his day of Pentecost, preached word that we speak so commonly in the house of God, in an apostolic house of God, which we should because it is the only way to be saved. It was his preparation at the feet of Jesus that led to his life-altering word that touched thousands of lives throughout Jerusalem and all Judea on the day of Pentecost. Where Jesus went, church went. That was church when Jesus was alive. Where Jesus was teaching, where he was preaching, whatever woman, whatever man invited him into their house for dinner or for whatever it was, whatever need they had that allowed Jesus to come in, that was where they had church at. And that same pattern even continued after Jesus had passed. The disciples did the same thing. They continued from house to house, breaking bread and preaching the name of Jesus. And Where Jesus went, the church went. But where did Jesus go? Well, I refer to Luke 4:18 where it says, where Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Jesus went to the hurting and to the broken. He didn't offer His power to the highest bidder, and He didn't heal only the rich and only the religious leaders. He sought those who were poor, those who were brokenhearted, those held captive, those who were blind, and He sought to give liberty to those who were bruised. That was the mission of God. We need to realize that when we have the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. And as the church, it is our mission to reach those Jesus described in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, which I just read. That was the church. And today I believe that is what the church should be. It should be a group of people gathered in one accord, in one mind, in the name of Jesus, which is, if you did not know, the only saving name. You're not going to call on the name of any other God. You're not going to call on the name of any rich man, the name of any idol, the name of any superstar. They're not going to come save you. It's only going to come in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Healing didn't come, has not come, and will never come any other way than by the name of Jesus, and having faith that Jesus will move when we call on His name. And that was the church. They called on the name of Jesus. And today we need to model ourselves in that same fashion and call on the name of Jesus. I believe that we are absolutely 100% privileged that we have a building such as this. There are not many people who are as privileged as us to have a building this nice. I mean, you can look around and you could probably criticize any corner of this room you want. But there are many good things that have happened in this room. There are many good things that happened at the storefront. Because Jesus is not defined by the building we try to put Him in. He is greater than any building. He is greater than any stadium. He fills all space and He fills all of time. He's in this room right now. He is in Africa at this moment. He is way off in the most outer reaches of the galaxy. That is how powerful the God we serve is. And yet today, even though He is in this room, we act indifferent to His presence. We act indifferent to the Spirit of God. We allow our minds to be entertained and captive, held captive by things that are way less than God is. The fact that we gather here, the fact that we can gather here, we have absolute 100% religious freedom in the United States of America. You could right now make up any God you want to serve and you could go serve them. You could go to Home Depot, buy you any kind of type of wood you want to buy, and you could craft an idol, and you could call that your God, and you could worship it. And surely enough, with how many crazy people there are out in the world right now, you could convince people to come serve the God that you have made up. But tonight, more than are we just privileged to be in this building, more than are we just privileged to stand in apostolic heritage passed down to this city, but we are privileged that we know that when we show up in this building, that we are serving and worshiping the one true God. We gather here to worship the one true God who is greater than any other place in the world. He's greater than any other being in the world. And He's greater than any person in the world. He's greater than any sickness. He's greater than any addiction. He's greater than any problem. That is who we serve. That is Jesus. This isn't just a place that we get together just to get free food. It's not just a place that we get together just to come and hang out with our friends and share all of our fun belongings and things with each other. Or it's not just a place that we show up and warm a seat because it's what we've done for a long time. I would go on to say that it's even not about the singing. It's not even about the playing. It's even far to say that it is not even about the preaching. It is about God. Because without everything I just listed, God would still exist. Because He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is the author and the finisher. He began everything we see, and He is the one who is going to see through everything that we see. I find rest, I find strength in knowing that the same God that wrote my life into existence is the same God who's going to write my life out of existence. And I have full trust in Him in whichever way I want to go, because I know that if I serve Him, I know that if I turn to Him, I will have peace in knowing that my destiny, that my place I'll spend eternity is heaven. Yeah. It's not about the singing, no matter how good it is. It's not about the preaching, no matter how perfect the punctuation is or great the grammar is. It doesn't matter, because without God it would mean nothing. Without God anointing a man to preach His word, the words he would say would mean nothing without God behind them. But when we add worship to everything we do in this church, it gets God's attention. You may wonder in the scope of your life, where is God? You may wake up, you may hit your knees in prayer, and you may not feel anything. You may wonder, where is God? You may even begin to think, why is He not showing up when I call His name? But I will say to you tonight that worship gets God's attention. When we pray, it doesn't need to be a laundry list of things God needs to get done for us to give our life to Him. Our prayer needs to be worship. We need to start out our prayer every morning with thanking God for the very fact that we are alive, that the fabric of our existence is woven the way it is so that we have free will, that we can breathe, that we can think, that we can eat, and we can be sustained by the things God created for us. We need to add worship to everything that we do. When we have one mind, when we have one accord, when we are all focusing on worshiping Jesus, that is when He shows up. And that is when He shows us His power. That is when He gives us peace. That's when He heals our sickness. That's when He gives us our breakthrough, is when we worship Him. But I'll tell you something tonight that might be hard to swallow, and that's okay. But you know what? Even if we worship God and He doesn't show up, and He doesn't do anything I just listed for us, He is still worthy of that worship. As hard as a pill that may be to swallow for you and for me, no matter what I do, if I make myself completely, if I stand here and scream until I die worshiping God and He never shows up one time for me, it will still have been worth it. But that's not the God that I serve, because He is worthy. And I heard it preached this way the other day, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Yeah. True faith is worship. Yeah. When we think about faith, we think that our minds have to be perfectly honed in on the will of God. We think that we cannot one time stray in thought from what we want God to do, or He won't do it. And that's not true. Our faith needs to be our worship. Amen. Yeah. There's no magic way to get a miracle, because God's not magic. He just is God, and He can do whatever He wants to do because He has all the power. There's nothing magic about it, because when we worship, it becomes not about us. It's not about how we look or how we sound. That's why in this church, sometimes you'll see crazy worship, because at the true essence of what worship is, it's not about you or me. It's not about what we look like when we're doing it. It's not about the attention that we're attracting to ourselves. It's about attracting the attention of God. And I know this may sound crazy to you, because maybe you've never got to that point in your worship before, where you just absolutely did not care what anyone thought about you when you were doing whatever it is you felt like you needed to do to get a breakthrough. But God showed up for you. I've been there before. He showed up for me when I worshiped Him. He didn't show up for me when I got down on my knees and I begged Him. He showed up for me when I worshiped Him. If He did it or not, when I worshiped Him, that is when He answered my prayers. As a people in this generation obsessed with our image, we let that get in the way of our worship. And we don't worship God the way we could. And then God's not moving in our lives, and we're wondering why. So in that verse that I read, Hebrews 11:6, I heard it preached the other day that you could replace the word faith with worship. And at the end of that, of them that diligently seek Him, we can understand that when we're diligently seeking God, we are worshiping Him. So the preacher read it this way. He said, "But without worship, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that worship Him." Worship is vital to a relationship with God. Because when we truly seek Him, it's not about us. Selfish prayers dictate no response from God, but selfless worship gets God's attention to move the mountains in our lives. Don't let standing at someone's side as they pass away be the first time you selflessly sought a move of God in your life. Don't wait until the moment of deliverance to selfishly worship God. Because if we move now, if we worship now, if we pray now, God will move before it gets to a point in our lives or someone's lives we know where there is imminent danger. And even more than just our life on earth, but our eternal life as well. Amen. The church isn't a place about us. It's about God. And I believe that it's about time we start using this church, we start using this opportunity, this building, for what pastors sacrificed to have it for. I'll tell you that Brother Daniel, that pastor didn't move his family to a little nowhere town just so we could get together and chill in the house of God. Just so we could get together and share our vapes and share our food and share our stories. He sacrificed everything he could have had so we could get together in this building and experience the unblemished power of God. Yeah. He sacrificed it all to follow the plan of God so that when we're here, no one's screaming cuss words in your face. Amen. When you're here, no one's lighting up you don't have to worry about somebody lighting up a joint in the next room, because this place is holy, because God's presence is here. You don't have to worry about someone offering you a drink. You don't have to worry about someone abusing you or hurting you. This place is made to be free of the influence of the world. So when we come here, we can get straight to the heart of God and feel His presence without distraction. The reason why I'm so hard on the kids on the van about the things they bring on the van with them is because the van and this building is not supposed to be like your home. At home, you get all the influence of the world. At home, your parents let you listen to and watch whatever you may want to watch. Maybe they even Maybe you know someone at your home or someone in your family that will go out and buy you whatever you need from the store, even if you're not old enough to get that yet. And that's not the kind of influence that we want to have on you when you come to this place. It's not the kind of influence I want to have on you when you ride on the church van. That's why we play Christian music, holy music on the church van. That's why we don't play crazy music in this church building. We play holy Christian music in this building. Because we want you to get a different experience when you show up here. We don't want you to fight the same battles you fight at home. We don't want you to feel the same feelings you feel at your house. It's a place where the addict can come and be delivered. It's not a place where we get to trade addictions and trade problems and stuff in the parking lot. We're not here to be cool. We're not here to fit in with the world. We're here to worship a God who gave it all for us. This is an escape from the hell that you're fighting at home. Thank God for the doors of the church. Because you can lay all your baggage down at the doors. And you don't have to pick it up when you leave, because God will take care of that baggage for you. Amen. This place is our launching point for revival in our homes. We come here and get what we need to take back out there and fight our battles. Yeah. We keep ourselves full by praying every day and taking in the Word of God to attack the enemy. During the Holocaust, or even before the Holocaust, many non-Jew Germans hid Jews in their homes because the Nazis were coming to take them away and place them in horrible camps where they were treated like cattle. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The spaces that these people usually hid in were small and very tight, cramped areas. But it was better than being captured by the enemy. It was better than being taken and treated like an animal in a concentration camp. They were willing to squeeze themselves into any nook and cranny that they could find for safety so they could avoid the enemy coming in and taking them away. So tonight, I'm offering you a solution to your battlefield of a home that you go to every day. I'm offering you a solution to the abusive people you face when you walk through the doors of your home. I'm offering you a solution to the drama you face when you walk into your house, when you go to your school, when you get on your school bus. There is a way out of that. There is a life you can live separated from all those things. You may not own your home today, but you can claim a small territory for the Lord right in your bedroom. Amen. Yeah. Your home may be a distraction and it may be very hard to concentrate, but you can find a place in your house. You can find a place outside of your house. You can find a place at school. What we need now more than ever is we need to realize that we, with the name of Jesus, have the power to declare territory in His name. I promise right now that if a young person would go home tonight and find a secret spot where they could just barely fit, wherever it is, if it's in the dark, if it's in a closet, I don't care where it's at, if you could find a place where you could go and claim that in the name of Jesus as His territory, you could develop yourself a safe place to go. A safe place to go pray. Your home may be a distraction. You may be dealing with abuse and with problems. But if you could just make it to that safe place that you claimed in the name of Jesus, I promise it's there that you could find refuge. Just as this church is a place that you can come and find refuge. Yes. You can go to your safe place. You can go there and feel safe and know God will show up when you enter in. And when the enemy comes knocking, you don't have to answer. Anybody hear that? When your problems come knocking, you don't have to answer. When your addiction comes knocking, you don't have to answer. Because God has delivered us from those problems. And if you can make it to that safe spot, if you can make it to your prayer closet, to that place that you claimed in the name of Jesus, you can go and be free from your issues. Because that's how powerful the name of God is. Because it's better to fit ourselves and close ourselves in a small area in a war zone than it is to be captured by the enemy and held captive and prisoner. I don't want to be held prisoner. I want to be free in the name of Jesus. So when your friends start blowing up Snapchat because they're getting drunk and they're getting high, don't get jealous. Get in prayer. Because there are ways that you can stay out of that lifestyle. There are ways that you can be free of those problems and that pain.
Yes, amen.
I'll tell you from example. I grew up with complete freedom on the internet. Listen to me right now. I grew up with complete freedom on the internet. Okay? So as a young man, I was able to pull up my cell phone and go and visit any website across the World Wide Web that I wanted to with complete freedom and no consequence. That is not okay for a young man or a young lady. So it was those things that I was looking up that began to create problems in my life. And so to combat my flesh, because I know that I'm not strong enough without God, I completely deleted the possibility of getting to those websites from my life. If you come check my phone today, you will not find Safari on my phone. And even though I'm older now, I have a beautiful wife and a beautiful son, I'm never going to give my flesh the opportunity to trap me and take me prisoner. Because I created a safe place for me. Because I don't want to be taken captive by the enemy. So if it's hurting you, get rid of it. If you can't stop texting people and texting boys and girls some things you shouldn't be on Snapchat, delete Snapchat. If people keep getting on your phone and bothering you and hitting you up for things they shouldn't be hitting you up for, if people are inviting you out to parties, whatever that video. You really want God to touch your life, cut it off. And go to that safe spot that you claimed in Jesus' name in your house. As my wife would come tonight, I'm going to close. And now I'm going to get to my title. The effect of AFEC. I built everything up to get where we are right now. Because many of us in this room today are like Joash. And I know it's felt like an eternity since I read the scripture, but Joash was the king of Israel. At the time, Elisha had fell sick with a sickness that was going to take his life. Today, many of us are presented with the choice, just as Joash was, to turn and serve other gods or serve the one true God, Jehovah. And he chose to serve Jehovah. So the prophet of God that many people had killed off before, he loved. And it was the news of his sickness that strained his heart and called him to go down and visit him as he was dying. And it was the dying actions of this prophet of God, this fire of God from heaven that I'm talking about tonight and showing us the relevance of us in that story. You see, we're like Joash. We're presented with the options to serve the gods of this world. Like I said, you can make up any god you want and you can serve it. You can call it your god. It doesn't matter. Somebody will support it. Somebody will do something about it. But we serve the one true God in this church. See, tonight, you may not believe it, but you have effect on AFEC in this place. Now, what is AFEC? AFEC was the land in which the Syrians dwelt. The land which the children of Israel were promised. You're here tonight, but there may be a battlefield at home. Family relationships aren't right, and you're not being treated right. But here you won't get that because God has ordained this place for His presence. Joash, when he was fighting against the enemy, was in the presence of the prophet, symbolizing being in the presence of God. Tonight you are in the presence of God. Whether you realize it or not, whether you're taking advantage of it or not, you are in the presence of God, and the eastward window is wide open. And tonight, just as every time you step in these doors, God has placed a bow inside of your hands. And He is telling you to shoot that bow out of the westward window. What that symbolizes is the things that God's telling us that we need to give up. That's Him telling us that we don't need those addictions in our lives anymore. We don't need those friends in our lives anymore. And He is calling us to shoot that arrow out the westward window. Because towards out that westward window was the enemy. Outside of these walls is the enemy. At your home, many of us, I know you may not have an atmosphere at your home that's conducive for a move of God because you feel like you are in the presence of the enemy. But tonight in this place, God has given you a bow and an arrow. And if you would shoot it out the westward window, which is when you agree that God's will is greater than your will, and allow Him to send the arrow of deliverance back to your dwelling place, God will show up there and He will begin to change your life. Elisha shows him how to hold it. He shows him how to shoot it. And he tells him that this is for the destruction of the Syrians in Aphek. You have effect on Aphek in this place. What you do at these altars tonight can revolutionize the atmosphere you go to when you go back home. You can walk through your doors and you can go find you a place and you can claim it in the name of Jesus. You can find you a closet that's used for brooms and storage, and you can turn it into an altar where the fire from heaven can fall. You can turn it into a place where the arrow of the deliverance of the Lord will land and deliver you from the enemy in Aphek, because you have effect on Aphek in this place. The abuse from your family and the atmosphere at home, I know that's not conducive for a move of God, but what you do in this room, how you respond to the Word of God, can change how everything is when you return home. What we give to God, He will turn for our good, and He will send that arrow of deliverance back to our home. But you just got to claim some things in Jesus' name tonight. You've got to give up some things in Jesus' name tonight for God to send that arrow of deliverance back to Aphek, back to your home. Because, and I'm going to close after I say this, but there are battles that are easier to fight when you're in the house of God than when you're in the territory of the enemy, in Aphek, if you will. There are battles, there are things that you can claim when you're on this altar as a living sacrifice that God will honor in His timeline and bring to pass in your future. Because I wish what I said God would do right now, but I have to trust that His timeline is greater. His timeline is better for me than I could ever imagine. I know that on this altar there are battles I can fight right now. There are things I can give up and leave on this altar right now that will be easier to do now than when I leave out these doors. When I go back home to the city of Aphek, where the enemy roams and the enemy is moving around like a lion seeking to devour you, seeking to devour me. So I urge somebody in this place tonight, the eastward window is open. And just as Joash did, shoot that arrow out the eastward window and get deliverance. In today. Lord, God, we're so thankful for this opportunity. Jesus, I know that you have opened up some windows in this place. I know that there is some hell that is going on at some people's houses right now. I know that there are some issues that some people would be embarrassed to share in this place that only you know about. Lord, but I know that in your word you tell us that whatever we give to you, you can turn for our good. What the enemy made for evil, you can turn for our good, Lord. So, Lord, I pray over every heart, I pray over every mind right now in the name of Jesus, that they would go home and they would claim a spot in Jesus' name in which they could return to in prayer, they could return to when they need a safe place. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there's hope and there's freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is love. Shadows burn like a veil. And shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus on the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family. Speak the holy name, Jesus. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within presence, as we Jesus. And I just want to speak.